Well, good morning, everybody. I got a captive audience at the beach watching me. Ladies, can y'all see the screen? Okay. All right. So you already know what the topic's going to be on, so it ain't no surprise on any of that. This is actually y'all's message because quite a few of you participated by sending me examples. So if you don't like the message, you should have gave me better examples. All right. So I've been thinking about this a lot because April's a challenging month for me. It's got a lot of examples that I'm going to show you as we get toward the end of the message of why I chose this topic for April specifically. But I wanted y'all to join in with me because all of us have examples of God's faithfulness in one way or the other. I was talking to Neil in between the meetings. It's not grand things that a lot of times that we're looking for. It's the little bitty things. And most of the time it's after the fact. So we look back and we say, I saw how God's hand was in every single bit of this and whatever it may be. Whether it's a health issue, your marriage, getting through school, job opportunities, traveling, whatever it is. A lot of times it takes us looking back and remembering what happened, and then we see, well, yeah, God was faithful in that. A lot of times when we're going through the big things, and I'll tell you about some of mine as we go through this, it's hard to see what God's doing. And even in scriptures, we're going to look at some of the events of scripture as well. And even these people that we would say, well, they were people of faith, at that moment, they were struggling to see what all was going on. They were trying to trust the Lord, but then they were struggling with all the little bitty events that were going on in their lives. So what God tells us to do is, if I've made a promise, if God has made a promise, He's faithful to keep that promise, trust Him no matter what. And then for us as human beings, living in the flesh is still a struggle for us, but it is an opportunity for us to grow in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so mine's not moving, but the ladies, y'all's is. I'll look up here on the screen anyway, so it doesn't matter. So first thing I want to do is thank y'all for participating. Some of you were last minute, which was fine. I checked my email multiple times a day, so when I got the email, I just put that into the slot somewhere. If you still have examples, you're welcome to send them to me. They're for my enjoyment, for my encouragement, but they're not going to be on this morning's message. So thank y'all again for participating. These are our two verses for this morning. My wife told me to talk louder because I'm going to be moving away from the thing and I don't have a microphone, lapel microphone for that. But these are our two verses that I really want us to focus on. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And Romans 3:3, what then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? So Paul is asking the question. And we know the answer because we've read the scriptures. It doesn't nullify what God has promised. No matter what we feel, how we respond, it doesn't nullify what God has promised. It will take effect. So what can we determine from these two verses? And I've underlined what we want to focus on. God remains faithful, and our unbelief, their unbelief concerning the Jews, it will not nullify the faithfulness of God. No matter what, God's going to be faithful. His faithfulness is contingent upon Himself, His attributes, His nature, His character. No matter what we human beings do, it does not change His faithfulness to effect in, through, for, by, with us according to His purpose. If the Lord promises something, it will come to pass. That does not mean that we're going to go through a bed of roses unless you consider the thorns that are on the wild roses that are out there. It doesn't mean that our lives are going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that what we see, we're going to consider that to be the faithfulness of God because there's trials, there's tribulations, there's pain and sorrow and all these things that we go through. But the end result is that God is going to be faithful to Himself first and foremost, and He's going to be faithful to whatever He has promised, an individual, a nation, whatever it may be. A lot of times we need to be careful that we're not accepting somebody else's mail and saying that that's my mail and I can receive that. If Abby gets some mail, she still lives at home, so I open her mail. I'm nosy. But I don't take her mail and say, well, it's labeled to Abby, but that's my mail too. Especially if it's a bill or something like that. I'm going to hand it right to her, and this is your bill. So it's the same thing. And what I'm getting to is when we read the Old Testament scriptures that were specific to Israel, we don't say, hey, that applies to me, because it's not a letter that's written to us. We can see God's faithfulness to the nation of Israel in very specific ways, but we can't claim the necessarily those promises that he gave to Israel. Now, when we read the New Testament letters, the epistles that Paul wrote, Peter wrote, John wrote, and so forth, when we read those and he's talking about believers, accept every single one of those promises that God has given, because those are specifically for believers. I printed out these verses because I'm not going to have y'all turn into a lot of scripture, because I have a lot of scripture that we're going to be looking at. So I'm just going to read off a lot of them. But this is the whole focus, and it's presenting the case that God is faithful through time. We can go back to Adam and we can continue on until the 21st century, and we can see that God is faithful in the different things that he does. So I'm just going to read these verses. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Now, of course, he's talking to the serpent. God is talking to the serpent at this time. And her seed, the seed of the woman, we understand now, because we get to open up the book and read what is taking place. We know that that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis 12:7, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.'" This is specific to Abraham. "And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." Fast forward a little bit to Genesis chapter 22, verse 16, "And said, 'By myself I have sworn,'" God has sworn to himself, "says the Lord, 'because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you and multiply, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." And I'm going to hold off on Genesis 3:16. So Genesis 22:18, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." That's one of those we can say, well, that's representative of the nation of Israel. And then we can say that that's specific, going back to Genesis chapter 3:15, that this is the seed of the woman. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I would take it as that. You can actually say that it's both of them, but it's specific to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Galatians 3:16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, 'and to seeds,' plural, as of many, but as of one, 'and to your seed,' who is Christ." So Paul gives us the understanding. He gives us the interpretation of what's happening in Genesis chapter 22. He's telling us, yes, he's talking about the nation of Israel, but he's also talking specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be the one who blesses the nations, because he came from the seed of Abraham. So we talk about the promised seed, the seed of the promise, and the promised seed again. From Adam to Abram, roughly 2,000 years. From Abraham to Christ, roughly 2,000 years. From Christ to the present is roughly 2,000 years. Again, most of y'all already know that I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in millions and billions of years. I believe that we've only been here at most 10,000 years, but more than likely probably around 6,000, a little bit longer than 6,000 years. So 6,000 plus or minus years of evidence to confirm that God is either faithful or he's unfaithful. We don't have to guess about it. We have the evidence. It's like a courtroom. I'm not going to bring up anybody's name who's going in court right now. It's like that courtroom. They got to deliver the evidence. And once the evidence is delivered, then you make a verdict. You make a decision. So we've got the evidence right here of whether God's been faithful or not. So we're just going to look at some examples as we go through the scriptures, and we're either going to prove that he's faithful or we're going to prove that he's unfaithful. If he's unfaithful, we don't need to be here anymore. We don't need to be worshiping a God who's not faithful, who does not keep his word. If he is faithful, we should be worshiping. Our intensity of worship should be growing, and our love for him should be deepening. So Abram, he has promised to have a specific land. We just read those verses. Innumerable descendants. How many stars are up in the heavens? They're still trying to figure it out with all the capabilities that we have. My wife and the other ladies are at the beach right now with all the sand. How many grains of sand are at just whatever beach? What beach are they at? Topsail. How many grains of sand are just there?
A whole lot.
So imagine all the beaches around all the world. So let's, again, I printed out these verses, so I'm just going to read them. Hebrews chapter 11, this is, again, the book of faith where he's talking about the different people throughout history that have shown their faith in the Lord and what the Lord has done in their lives. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 13. And y'all can follow along in your Bibles if you want to. I've got it printed off, so I'm just going to roll with it. I do have a clock up here now. So whether I pay attention to it or not, I don't know. But we'll just go for it. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged God to be faithful. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So the Hebrew writer is telling us that Abraham never got to the promised land. He never got to be there. He didn't see the fulfillment of the prophecies, the promises that were given to him by God, but he trusted all the way. We read in the Old Testament, and we see the account of Abraham. He was not a perfect man. He did some things on his own. He tried to make things happen, and all of these things had their consequences. But overall, he was faithful to the promises of God, because God was the one who was telling Abraham what was going to happen, and he trusted him. So let's take a journey down memory lane with Abraham. While alive, Abraham saw provision of a son in his old age. Again, he tried to make it happen on his own, and then God said, "That's not what I want. I'm going to provide a son for you." So this isn't the first son that he had. This is the son of the promise. Provision of a ram in the place of his son. Again, he was going to offer up his son, showing his faith, and then God intervened. Provision of a wife for Isaac. He had to send him out of the land to find a wife for him. And God provided every single step of the way. And the list goes on of what God did with Abraham and through Abraham and for Abraham. God was faithful to his promise to him. If Abraham were able to see from beyond the grave, would he be able to confirm that God was faithful to him in life and faithful to his promises centuries afterwards? So this is what I'm trying to make sure I'm not skipping ahead. If you could get up into my brain, you'd probably be trying to figure out what in the world is he going, what is he trying to do. So what I want us to do this morning is place ourselves where Abraham is. Let's say that Abraham can see everything that's been going on for the last 4,000 years. He died, we know he died, we know that he was buried. But let's just say that he can see everything that's been happening for the last 4,000 years. He's an observer. He's a spectator. What would he be seeing? Would he be seeing the faithfulness of God to that promise that he gave Abraham, or would he be seeing an unfaithful God who lied to him? So let's just imagine that Abraham is able to watch and see what's going on and whether God has been faithful to him or not. So Abraham observing the faithfulness of God. The faithful God, this is the Hebrew right here, El Aman. And basically, that's where we get our Greek word, which would be, I can't remember how it pronounced, but our English would be amen. So the faithful God, a lot of times we'll say amen, so let it be. This is what it's meaning. God is faithful, amen. I'm trusting him. So let's look at these verses. Genesis 26, 24. I'm just going to read these off, and this is building us this evidence that God is faithful. So Genesis 26, 24, and the Lord appeared to him in the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." Again, connecting that promise back to what he said to Abraham. Genesis 28, 12 through 15, "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. These are pretty specific promises that connected to Abraham, but they're continuing through his lineage, through his descendants going down. Genesis 35, verses 9 through 12. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you and to your descendants. After you I give this land. I'm just going to read a few more of these, and then you can jot down the rest of them. I'm just going to read a few more of them because we're going to jump ahead through all of this. Genesis 46, 2 through 4. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make you of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is in this day, to save many people alive. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you and carry up my bones from here. We know the history of it, that the people of Israel were in Egypt for 430 or so years in captivity, slavery. So it wasn't a picnic like it had sort of been when Joseph was there. So then they went through this time of captivity. We jump to Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Exodus 14, verse 30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So we see the history and we see what's going on. We see God's faithfulness through every single bit of this. Again, it wasn't a cushioned getting on the train and you're in what would be some of the classes, business class or something like that. I don't travel much, so I can't tell you what they are. But you're in the best class. You're in the best seats. It wasn't like that for the nation of Israel. But God kept his promise. He was faithful. So again, 430 years in Egypt sojourning as slaves. In the journey from Egypt to Canaan, the people were provided with manna. They complained about it. Fresh water, it wasn't enough. Moses got mad. He hit the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. That's why Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. But still, God was faithful to Moses, even though Moses had his issues, and he still responded in the flesh. They were able to eat quail because they complained about the manna, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that God just continued to be faithful to the nation of Israel, even though the nation of Israel, a lot of times, as we read through the scriptures, was not and is not faithful to him. Even to the point that for 40 years walking through the wilderness, their shoes and their clothing, I guess it looked brand new, didn't deteriorate or anything. I put on a pair of socks this morning, they looked fine. All of a sudden I could see the side of my foot. It had a hole in it. It wouldn't have happened if I was with the people of Israel at that time. Of course, they still had a lot of things that were going on. So, again, Abraham's from wherever he's at, he's looking down and he's watching. And he's watching his descendants and how crazy they are and how messed up they are. And he knows that he's the cause of it because he's got all the genetics and the DNA that he's pushing for. And he comes to this part. Imagine what he's thinking if he's able to see that. The shoes look brand new. The coat's not falling apart. The ladies, their hair looks pretty good. All they've been eating is manna from heaven, but they're doing pretty good. Why are they complaining? Imagine him cheering in one thing, and then the next time he's like, that can't be a relative of mine. There's no way that my relative would act like that. He did not come from my loins. So imagine him doing that. But he's seeing the faithfulness of God going through. Deuteronomy 32:4, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. So again, Abraham's continuing to observe. In Joshua 24, it's a recalling of what God had done for the children of Israel based upon his promise to Abraham. So this is just listing out the blessings of God and what has taken place. In 1 Chronicles 2, we see a genealogy of the 12 sons of Jacob. Again, Abraham's seed continuing forth. And this includes David. We know the history of David and what all he was able to do, mighty things for God, by God, through God, and so forth. But a young David kills a mighty warrior named Goliath and is eventually installed as king of Israel. Imagine Abraham looking down and he's seeing what's going on. He's like, that's my boy right there. He got that rock and he's slapping that Goliath straight in the head and it lands perfectly and Goliath drops down and he dies. But then he starts to see the rest of the things that David does. I'm going to have to get some DNA samples because I don't think David's from me. Imagine the roller coaster that Abraham's seeing because he's seeing the faithfulness of God, but then he's seeing why is God faithful to these people? Why is he faithful to my descendants and what all we're doing? And yet God continues on. Deuteronomy 7:9, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, this is that word, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Question real quick, did Abraham love God? Yeah. Did Noah love God? Yes. Did Adam love God? Disobedient, but he still loved God. So Adam, Noah, Abraham, these are the ones that we could say all of humanity has been blessed by. So we came from Adam, we came from Noah, and then we've been blessed by Abraham because we are children of the promise. We are children of faith. And we'll connect that as we go through this. So we look at these, and we're not going to read all of Luke chapter 3, but I do want us to read Matthew chapter 1. Verses 1 and 17. So we're seeing the timeline going forth. We're laying out the evidence of whether God's faithful or not. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, from David until the captivity of Babylon are 14 generations, and from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ or 14 generations. So we've got these generations and we see God's faithfulness. Even though he had to judge Israel at certain times because of their sins, he still continued to be faithful to them, even when they were not faithful to him. So Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3 fulfill the promise to Adam and Abraham of that seed. We see it connected. So from Abraham, there's a multitude of people. From the multitude of people, you see a family, then you see an individual, and then ultimately we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming from the seed of Abraham. Israel today, there's prophecies being fulfilled. We think about in 1940, whatever it was, when Israel became a nation again, they came back to the land. We see in 1960, whatever date that was, how that brought back in more people. We see people, Jews from all over the world, that are migrating back to Israel. We see different nations, some of them are coming against Israel, and then some of them are standing with Israel. And we look at the scriptures and we say, well, that's leaning towards some prophecies. We've got Muslim nations that are turning, well, they've always been against Israel, but they're becoming more vocal. And then we've got one or two Muslim nations that are actually starting to where they want to be joined with or fighting with Israel. And you would never think that that would happen, and yet the scriptures talk about that. So we see prophecies being fulfilled, and the word would be, or the phrase would be, that God's not done with Israel yet. Paul would say, and I believe it's in Israel, I mean in Romans chapter 11, we're not going to read that chapter, where he's provoking them to jealousy by what he's doing with the Gentile nations, by Gentiles being saved and grafted in. And it talks about that in Romans chapter 11. So we see that God is not done with Israel yet. He's still working in and through them, and he's working through the church as well to provoke them to jealousy. So the church, part of this Abrahamic blessing, promise, however you want to look at it. So Galatians chapter 6, or chapter 3, excuse me, verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So again, this is how the church is connected to Abraham. Romans chapter 11 and verse 1, I say then, has God cast away his people? Has he cast away the Jews? And Paul's answer and our answer should also be, certainly not. He has not done that. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. And then Paul goes on and he talks about these things, again, causing them to be jealous and provoking them so that they might believe. Paul closes out Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Y'all can finish the last word. Amen. So Israel's future is tied up in Romans chapter 11. And so much of Revelation is talking about the future of Israel. And some of it we're seeing unfolding now. Thankfully for us, before it gets worse for Israel, we're going to be raptured out. So then we're going to be like we're presenting Abraham to be today, as spectators, observers, and even participators with him in how he's doing these things. But God's not done with Israel. They do have a future. And he's still working in the church as well. So again, Abraham observing the faithfulness of God. Isaiah 49:7, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhor, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. So this is a prophecy for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So again, there are some verses of Scripture that a believer absolutely can and should be claiming. And this is one of those. God calls us. We respond in faith. So if he starts a good work in us, he will complete it. We're not going to stop him. We can slow him a little bit, but he's going to finish that work that he has started in the believer. We have his promises on that. God is faithful. So why were you asked to submit your personal examples? Not because I wanted to be nosy or anything like that. It's because I wanted us to participate in saying that God is faithful. We can read it in the scriptures all day long, but until it becomes personal, until I have a testimony, until I am a witness, the evidence, it's got some bearing, but until you have a witness that comes out and says, I know exactly what Abraham went through because I'm a part of that. I see the faithfulness of God. He has kept his promises to me, and we're able to list them out. From least to the greatest to the leadest, we know what God has done for us. However long it is that we've been a child of God, that we've been a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can list those things out, and we should be able to. Some of them that's going to be up here, I condensed down what y'all said, not because it wasn't good, it's just because lack of time. I couldn't read every single bit of it. So you'll see that a lot of it's going to be a condensed version of what you submitted. I didn't want to say condescending because that's not right. A condensed version of what you said, then some of it's going to be direct quotes because I thought the quotes were pretty good and we're going to put those in. So again, Scripture teaches that God is faithful and provides examples. But until this becomes alive in us, it really doesn't mean anything. It's not going to affect anybody's life. I think me and Samantha were talking about this. How can somebody teach the Word of God, present the gospel, and yet not be a believer? They do it all the time because it has not affected them personally within their minds and their hearts. So our lives as believers should teach and provide examples of that same God's faithfulness. These are going to be some of the things that were submitted. Already getting emotional. I did get emotional while I was reading these. I'll go ahead and tell you. I was going to start out like Aunt Samantha was probably laughing at me. I was going to say, I normally don't get emotional, but after reading all of these, I started getting emotional. But then that would be lying in the church meeting, and I can't do that. So sugar and caffeine, we'll roll through these. Tissue? Nah. So we've got 10 minutes. I've got several slides of what y'all submitted. So again, I'm not going to look around and say, you know, and point out somebody and say, well, this was yours and this was yours. I know what you did. You know, there's nothing sinful or anything like that. It's just showing the faithfulness of God. So after the sudden death of a dear friend, even when we don't understand why certain things happen, God is still good. Deuteronomy 31:8, and this is a direct quote from what this person had. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So God's talking to the nation of Israel, and we see what he did for them. So this is one of those. It's not specific to the believer, but we can definitely take this verse. Because God is faithful to us. He does go before us. He will not forsake us. Another one was bringing a spouse out of depression. Some of these, even though I didn't submit them, I could say, yeah, that's an example. I've been through that. And again, that's how we encourage the believers within this local meeting. We're not isolated. I'm going through stuff that you don't know about because I don't share. But if I did share, you would probably say, I'm going through that exact thing. Thank you for sharing it with me. I'm not alone. This is another one. Provision of the exact hourly dollar amount needed to replace the usage of a company vehicle. So their job, they were able to drive their vehicle home, and then the job switched it, and they weren't able, but they had already factored in that they needed that vehicle because that was a part of their, they looked at it as a part of their salary. So God made that up by giving him, and I shouldn't have said him, trying to be generic, giving that person the exact amount that they needed to cover on losing that vehicle, driving it home. Safety and protection at work around heavy equipment. Faithfully teaching contentment and attitude adjustment. I'm sure we all could say that one. Several examples of provisions during sales of homes and moving to new locations. Y'all can probably look at each other and tell which ones have been moving recently and so forth. Poor little Abby, she's moved quite a bit with her and her mama. So we know how that is. God making provisions at the right time and all of that. Faithful to meet needs during fostering children. Lord bless you for doing that. Faithful to provide words at the right moment when he put someone in the path to be witnessed to. This was a specific example that was submitted, but hopefully this has occurred in every single one of our lives. I know in situations I've had where I didn't want to talk to somebody, and yet God put that person straight in my face, and then he gave me the words that I needed to say at that particular time. Protection while traveling and transporting. The one that submitted it has some specific things, but again, all of us have probably gone through some things like that. We can say that was a God moment right there where he kept me safe. I know Abby's got one. I shared that with quite a few of y'all. She was coming down the road, belt broke. It happened to be the power steering. And she was able to get in the driveway, didn't know what was going on, and we tried to move it in the yard, and it was like old-timey, worse than old-timey, because it small steering wheel. The old timers, you had the big old steering wheel. Faithful in keeping two imperfect people in a marriage. I didn't submit this one, but I probably should have. Who in here is perfect? Who in here is married? Has he kept two imperfect people together? Yes. So this was somebody who submitted that, but I got to say amen to that one. Faithful to provide comfort during health issues, surgeries, by bringing to remembrance verses of Scripture. Again, this was specific, and that's a word challenge for me. For this individual, but as one who's gone through those issues as well, and I look around the room and I know people have gone through those, we can say God has given me a verse and has comforted me at that exact time. Provision of a church family. This was one a lot of people in America don't even understand why this is so important. COVID was one of them things that happened. It just jarred the church meeting. And you can see the church meetings overall in America were already declining meeting numbers. After COVID, they've really tanked. And it's up to us to see how important this is. Not that the church saves us, but there's so much that we do for each other. Presenting examples of how God's been faithful to each of us. That's encouragement. That's building up the believers. Some more of them. Faithful as the Heavenly Father to single parents. This was submitted. And I know, like my sister, she's a single parent, so I can understand what that is talking about. Saving an unsaved spouse. I can understand that as well. I've seen evidence of how that blesses the family for many, many years. Removing an abusive parent from the home. Saving of children and grandchildren. I think this is all that we're definitely all praying for this for all of our children and grandchildren. Looking back and seeing this faithfulness throughout life. And that's one of them things where we got to slow down and we really got to think about it. A lot of times if we think about the faithfulness of God, it causes us to stop complaining. And I'm a complainer. I'm an overthinker, so I'm definitely a complainer. Providing land for development and expansion. I'll go ahead and point out who submitted that one. But even with this, I mean, Cecil can tell you how God has orchestrated and done a lot of those things. So he should be bragging on God, and he does brag on God. Improving a spouse's health. Samantha didn't submit this one, but I have had my health improved over the last year or so. I don't look at my phone while I'm teaching because that's rude. Amen. All right. provision of friends for life's journey. Samantha, I know that she would appreciate that, and she didn't submit it, but I know how important her friends are to her. She left her husband to go down to the beach with her friends. So. Jason understands. Neil understands. This just confirms that we are not an individual. We are connected in a community. We have to have each other. And good friends are hard to find. This one is an exact quote. The fact that I'm alive despite many idiotic choices that could have easily resulted in my death. I didn't say that, but I could definitely agree with that one. I didn't get saved till I was 20, so I had 20 years of idiotic decisions and choices that I made, particularly in my teenage years. So, by the grace of God, I am here. Provision of peace and rest during the sudden death of a mother figure. Whether it's your parent or somebody who has stepped in to fill in for your parent, when you lose that person, it's a difficult time. Now I'll summarize with mine, and I got a few more slides after that. So, again, this month has got dates that I can pop off whenever somebody says, well, what happened to you in April? And I can pop off exactly what happened to those. So that's what led up to this message. Not because I'm wanting to focus on me. That's why I wanted y'all to participate with me. Because I'm not the only one that goes through struggles. When I went through these things, I wasn't the only one that was there. My family was there. A lot of y'all were there. Again, joining together and working with us. So April 5th.
Anyway, time. As we jokingly say, he gone. I know Samantha's laughing. We say that way you can drop the tears. He's gone ahead. He's not completely gone. This was sad, but it was happy. He died the Saturday before Easter Sunday. What was funny? It wasn't funny, but we have had a lot of funny, again, God providing through that. Because started going downhill in September of the year before. There's two ways to die, an extended illness and then unexpected, I guess that's what they would call it. The unexpected, you have no time to really think about it. Person goes to work, they go to school, you don't see them again. Or you don't see them, if they're saved, you're going to see them again. And then there's those that suffer for an extended period of time. So what was funny was, he was taking his last breath. Ray Carroll called. And I didn't tell Ray that my daddy was dying at that moment. But Ray was encouraging. Faithfulness of God right at that time. Anyway, next one was, I was going to do the Wizard of Oz song, and the house began to shake and all that. I was going to put that up here, but I didn't. I was at home. Thankfully, Abby and Samantha weren't. They were at Jeff Johnson's for the teen Bible study. So that was fun. It was not fun. If you haven't been through a tornado, actually seeing the tornado and seeing the after effects, don't go through one. But looking back, I can see God's faithfulness through every single bit of that. I mean, the way the trees landed, how we were able to get things done around the house that we had forecasted, you know, years in the future because we couldn't afford it, and the Lord made a way for every single one of them things to happen. It was just amazing. But then old hard-headed me, dealing with insurance agents and adjusters and still going to work, and notice the date right there. So much going on. Stress level up to here. So God was faithful. April 30th of the same year, I had my first neck surgery. Poor little Abby, I don't know how she survived that one. Because I don't do well with anesthesia, and she saw all that happened after that. So anyway, this is my list of just three of the things that God's been faithful in my life. And look at y'all's list, which y'all submitted. And I know that that's not everything. It's not even close to what all we have gone through, what God has worked in our lives, the miracles, the faithfulness. I mean, God is good to us. This is a couple of ways that some of the submittals ended. They listed out what was going on, especially with their stubbornness, but God. That's two powerful words in Scripture. Because Paul used it often. He'd list out things that were going on, then he'd say, but God. Then he'd list out what God was doing, what God was going to do, and so forth. So when you hear somebody's life, and then you hear, but God, and then you hear the rest of the story, that's God faithfully keeping his promises. And I can go on and on. Go on and on. If God is faithful to us, share that with other believers, definitely. But every time you get an opportunity. That was 2018 with the tornado, and I still talk to people. And that is an open door for me to say, God
kept me and kept my dog that was outside. She didn't get slung around. That's a miracle in itself. One of the dogs, I know we're out of time, but I got to tell you this one because it's funny. One of the dogs was a golden retriever, yellow lab mix. I don't recommend ever getting a lab, Jason. Just don't get one. It's pouring down rain and trees down everywhere, electric lines down everywhere. I'm stressed out, freaking out, don't know what I'm doing, you know, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and I'm like, where's the dogs in? Lab comes running up. He's drenched, wet, shaking his tail like, it was so fun, I don't know what happened. The blue healer, which is the girl, she comes running up. She is completely dry. It's pouring down raining outside. She's completely dry. She don't say, hey. She don't say, are you safe? She don't say nothing. She goes straight in the house, goes straight up the stairs, jumps on my bed. I mean, her paws are muddy. I don't care. I just get in the house. But it's two different reactions. He's soaking wet, thinks it's the best day of his life. She's completely dry. She thinks, it was the worst day of her life, probably. But she's still traumatized. She would probably say, I can go on and on. Anytime she hears a storm, she's in Abby's bathtub. All right, finishing up. What do you think? If Abraham is able to, what has he seen of God's faithfulness? I didn't say that he wasn't seeing us. Imagine he's looking down and he's seeing our lives. I don't know if he can. We're speculating. We're using our imaginations. From what we've just looked at this morning, from what y'all submitted, has God been faithful to Abraham, and has Abraham seen faithfulness to the people of the promise, the people of faith? Yes, he has. This is the last quote. I could go on and on and on and on, but that's the gist. Thanks for the exercise in remembering the Lord's faithfulness. Sometimes it's easy to overlook in the day-to-day. That's what it's all about. If I tell you that God's been faithful in my life and I can give you examples, that causes you to slow down and you say, huh, he's been faithful in my life too, and these are the examples he's been faithful. It's not that we're trying to compete with each other, because we're all individuals and God works in each of our lives in ordinary and extraordinary ways specific to us. But we are a part of this collective local meeting, and we need to hear about how God has been faithful to Jim, been faithful to Ray, been faithful to Abby, been faithful to me. And we need to be able to list those things out. Because at some point, Matthew's going to be down, and he's going to be depressed, and he's going to need to hear about God's faithfulness. Because at the time that he's going through something, he doesn't feel like God's faithful. Have you ever been through something and you're questioning, is God hearing me? Is he going to be faithful through all of this? And then somebody comes up and they give you evidence, okay, well, I'm standing on that faith again. I'm going to keep on going. God's my rock. We must keep in mind, in order for us to see God's faithfulness in our lives, he must bring us through trials, tribulations, and tests. We do not like that. But that's how he works. That's how he shows his faithfulness to us, is by us going through things. God knows exactly what we each individually need to happen in our lives to conform us more into the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, that which he started, that which he began, he will complete. He will continue until we are in a replication of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not many gods, but we are bearing his image perfectly and completely. God's faithfulness is in alignment with his eternal purpose. His faithfulness is first and foremost to give himself glory. When we see that he's faithful, we respond by giving him glory. We are not exempt from temptation, tragedy, turmoil, or trauma, but we are assured of the fact that what he has promised us as believers, he will keep his promises. If you are here today and have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now is another example of his faithfulness in giving you one more opportunity. He gave me multiple opportunities until I was 20 years old and I finally was able to listen. He gave my daddy multiple opportunities until he was probably 45, and he finally heard the gospel, and he finally believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from the wrath of God. Accept him as your way to eternity with the Father. Trust that what he did for you on the cross is complete, perfect, and sufficient to pay for your sins. and by his resurrection you have eternal life by faith in him. It's all about God's faithfulness. We've got examples, personal examples of what he's done for us. Share those with individual believers in this local meeting. Let's encourage one another because of what he's done for us. And I'll open it up to the men for discussion. Jim. It's like the gospel. It's generic. It goes out to everybody. But when we make it personal, that's when it becomes unique to us. The way of salvation, Jesus Christ, is the same for all of us. How we come to salvation is unique to every single person. The faithfulness of God is unique to every single person. But when we hear about them, that sounds like me. That sounds like something that happened to me and so forth. So you're exactly right. Yeah. You have something, Cecil?
Yeah.
And that goes back to one of the first verses that I started out with. Even if we're unfaithful, he's still faithful to himself. The nation of Israel is in a state of unbelief overall, and yet he's still faithful to them.
Because of his promise.
All right, we're over on time, so we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for the examples, both of Scripture and from what was submitted by individual believers within this local meeting. Just going by what we've read from his Scripture, what we've been reminded of, and then from the examples from believers in this meeting, we can fully say that you are faithful. You're faithful at every step, in every way. Even when we're unfaithful, even when we're doubting and we're struggling, we're fearful. The list goes on of the things that we go through within our minds and within our bodies and within our families and so forth. And yet, if we would slow down and just remember those previous opportunities, we can see that you're faithful. And as we have new opportunities that come up, help us to trust you by being reminded of the things that have happened in the past. We know that you're a faithful God. We know that the enemy of our souls does not want us to believe that. And yet you are faithful. We just long to see you face to face. We just long to be in your presence. We just long to not have to deal with the struggles of this world anymore. And yet we're here. You left us here for a reason and a purpose, and that's to glorify you. That's to represent you. We pray that we would be faithful in that. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all that you've done for us. In your name, amen.